Hallelujah. God's an awesome God. Sometimes we get ahead of Him if we're not careful. Amen. And God's trying to move in our behalf, and we're just too anxious to let Him, amen, do what He needs to do in our lives. Amen. If you got your Bible, go with me tonight to the book of St. John chapter 15. St. John chapter 15. I had scripture and got in here and got sit down, and the Lord began to take me over to another place. So we're going to start there, see where we wind up at. Amen. There's no telling. Amen. But in St. John chapter 15, some real familiar scripture starting with verse 1. John 15 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Let me believe that today. Thank you, Father, for the precious word of the living God. I thank you, God, because we know that, God, that your word is true. Whatever your word says, God, if we can only begin to realize, God, that it is living word, God, we can take it from off the pages of this book, and it can become rhema word. And God, it can send every spirit of hell back to where it came, so that you might be, God, what is necessary in our hearts and souls and lives. Set the captive free, God, and meet every need. Lord, we ask you now to take us and use us the divine oracle of God. We might preach your word that you desire, God, to give us tonight, God. Let us speak only those words you want us to do. Bless this congregation. Bless this church, God. Bless this pastors. And everybody said, amen. I want to preach to you just for a little while tonight. Amen. And I know you've probably heard everything that I've preached this week. See, what revival is for is to revive what you've already heard. Amen? Hallelujah. How many of y'all, you drink a soda, you like sodas, whether it's diet soda, whether it's Coke, Dr. Pepper, you know, your sweet tea. You don't drink it just one day, you drink it every day. Glory, glory, glory. Some of us, too many of them in one day. All right? Amen. So we're repetitive people. Okay? And so you got to understand the devil is also a repetitive devil. Come on. Amen. And what he can blindside you by, he will blindside you by the next time if he can. All right? And so we got to understand that we have an identity of crisis, amen, that's among the church today. And so we need to reclaim our identity. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, "Tonight is my night to reclaim my identity." All right, notice what he said. He said, "I am the true vine. There's no one else but me." Okay? "And my Father is the husbandman." And so I am the vine, and he takes care of that. He's the one that makes sure that I'm in line, okay? "And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, said he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, said he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit." So what he's trying to tell us is, know who you are. You are in me, and if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done. What the enemy has done to us in our Christian walk and in the church world of today, amen, that he has stole our identity and he's caused us to mix with the world. Come on, you might as well say amen. And we've gotten so we're kind of like Egypt when Egypt went down, or whenever Israel went down to Egypt. I'll get it right in a minute. But when Israel went down to Egypt, it wasn't God's intent for them to stay there. It was only God's intent for them to be there for a season of time. But you see, when they got there, it became a homeland to them because they had what they had not had before. Come on. Amen. And so they stayed there and they began to multiply. They began to become a great nation in the midst of Israel. I mean, in the midst of Egypt. And what happened was Pharaoh rose up and realized, amen, how they were multiplying and how they were growing. And the God that they were serving, they was getting bigger than them. Amen. Come on. And so he began to make them slaves. Amen. And so they begin to lose their identity little by little. They were still Israelites. They were still God's people, but they did not recognize the God that they served anymore till they had to. Come on. Because you see, what they had already become more to them than the God that they served. They no longer had to believe God for the bread that they eat. They didn't have to believe God for the shelter over their head. They didn't have to believe God for the things that they wanted. Time did not have. And so they worshiped the moon god, the sun god, the water god, you name it. Egypt had a god for everything that there was. So Israel, as their children to begin to grow up, come on, because they had children in Egypt, and as those children begin to grow up in that culture, can I say it like that? Amen. And mom and daddy kind of sat back and said, we got it easy. Amen. We used to have to plow the ground. We ain't having to do that no more. Well, Junior's coming up saying, hey, amen, I see that Egyptian over there and he's worshiping a different God than I worship. Amen. He's going out sitting at the moon. Amen. Howling at the moon. Come on. Having it to try to make it his God. He said, I see that one over there and he's made the sun his God. Well, they're going out there and worshiping the water. Oh, y'all say amen. Whatever seemed to have the most power at that time is what they began to worship. Amen. And so what it did, it kind of leaked over into the Israelites' camp. Oh, y'all see, amen. And they got comfortable, amen, and they set themselves there. And the next thing you know, they realized hardship came. Amen. And in Egypt got a little bit jealous, come on, because after all, they're getting too powerful. They're getting too strong. There's getting to be too many of them. Amen. So he made them slaves. And so whenever hardship came, they began to cry for mercy. They began to remember the God of Israel. They began to remember God, the Yahweh God, the Jehovah, the Almighty. Come on. They remember the one that, amen, that when they didn't have anything, amen, that protected them. But now they're in bondage. Now they're losing their, amen, their children's lives. And there's an issue. Come on, come on. My sons and my daughters have rose up now. They're having their own children. But they begin to bring the idol worship in. Amen. Into the Egypt's camps. You might as well hear what I'm saying. Kind of like America is today. Come on, somebody. Amen. There was a time that God was God of America. There was a time that God was God of the church. There was time, come on. Amen. That God. Amen. We just believe that He is. I remember the lady that I got saved under. And they were poor folk. Amen. They didn't have hardly any food to eat. And she said one day she got up and she didn't have any bread and she didn't have much food. And so she just fixed a little of what she had for her family and looked down the road. Here come company in to eat. And she said, I didn't have enough. She said, I didn't turn them away. I brought them in the house. Set them at the table. And she said, now, Lord, we don't have a whole lot. But would you bless and multiply what we got? She said, we got up with food still on the table. Come on, somebody. Amen. As you see, there was only four of them, and she only had enough to feed four, but she fed double or more that. Amen. You see, that's the kind of God that we used to trust in. That's the kind of God that we used to worship. And but now we've become, and I'm not, don't misunderstand where I'm going and what I'm about to say, but I want you to understand we are blessed. Amen. We're blessed coming in. We're blessed going out. We're blessed in the field. Come on, we're blessed. We don't live in huts. We don't live in houses anymore that you can look down through the cracks of the floor. Amen. And see the chickens running around underneath the floor. Come on now. Amen. Some of you kids say, ain't that really happen? Yeah. Amen. I lived in a few of them growing up as a kid. But you got to understand, we're so blessed today. Amen. That we're not even satisfied with our brick houses. Come on. Amen. You might as well help me out. We're not burning wood and coal anymore unless we desire to do so. Amen. We got central heat, got central air. I didn't know what air was except for a cardboard piece. Amen. Too late at night and done this till you got so tired you passed out. Amen. And you slept and sweated. Amen. That's the air conditioner I remember as a kid growing up. But we're blessed today. Oh, come on. I'm not preaching you something new, but we've lost our identity. Amen. Even though we've been blessed, we're kind of like Israel was. They begin to mix and mingle. They didn't look like Egyptians. They didn't really act like the Egyptians altogether, but they were taking on the lifestyle of the Egyptians. And that's where the church world is today. I said, God help us, and we'll go back and we'll find our identity. He said, I want you to know I am the vine. I am the true vine. Amen. Come on. And my Father, He is the husbandman. Amen. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, amen, He takes and He cuts it off. But every branch in me that beareth fruit, amen, come on, He prunes it. Amen. He keeps it where it can bear some more fruit. I said, God, get us back. Amen. Prune us short. Somebody say amen. As we need God to come right down in the middle of where we're at, and all the things that we've took on in the world, all of our prideful issues, all of the things that we feel like that God, we just can't do without. I said, God, prune us back. Help us to realize You are our supply. You're everything that we need. And God, outside of You, we don't have nothing. Oh, somebody say amen. I want my identity to be so in Him that when the world looks at me, they can say, there comes, amen, Jesus, walking in flesh. Oh, y'all say amen. We need to realize when they walk in the church, and they walk into the presence of an almighty God, because our identity is so in Him that it floods the building when sinners walk in. Well, glory. Amen. I told you, this wasn't what I was going to preach. Amen. I had something else. So don't blame me. Just blame the one, amen, that sent me. Amen. Reclaiming your identity. Come on. Do you know who you are? Yeah, I'm Linda Williams. But do you know who you are? Amen. Even in the natural, my name is Linda K. Williams. Amen. I was born Linda K. Kemper. And I took on my husband's name. Come on. So now, but that is my status. That is who I am in the flesh. Oh, y'all say amen. Amen. But do you know who I am? Do you know who you are? Amen. You got to understand. You see, we look into the Word of God, and we find that in the book of 1 Samuel, Eli, the priest, he was the priest. You got to hear what I'm telling you. He was the priest of the house. Amen. And Eli, you know, he had the ability, and he had the power, and he had the authority to rule in the favor of God and make the decisions where the people would know which way to go in God. But Eli had a couple of boys. Don't get mad at me. I know who I am. Amen. Hallelujah. But you got to understand, Eli had a couple of boys. Now, you know, all of our little darlings are so, they're ours. They don't do no wrong. Amen. Except when they make us mad and we want to pinch their head off and play with it like it's a bowling ball. But everybody else, come on, they do no wrong. They don't lie. They don't steal. They don't cheat. Now, I pray they don't. But, you know, they sure are not going to tell a falsie. Come on, unless they're in trouble and need to get their way out. Because Johnny didn't do it. It was Tom. Amen. Tom didn't do it. It was Paul. Paul didn't do it. It had to be James. Come on. I used to tell my three, which one are you guilty? They say, I'm not. Amen. No, it wasn't me. I said, line up. I'll just get all three of you. That way I know I got the right one. Come on. Say amen. Did you know God does the same thing in the church? How can I preach, brother? Is it okay? Amen. Amen. It don't take a whole lot. We're all praising. We're all worshiping. And we're all God's children. Amen. Come on. He knows who's right. Come on. You remember when Achan went and got the Babylonian garment, the wedge of silver and the wedge of gold. Come on. He knew better than to do that. Come on. But he made the whole company of Israel suffer. Come on. Amen. Because he took it and he hid it. I often wondered, God, why in the world did you, judge the whole family, Sister Kelly? Why did God allow them to take him out when Achan still lied? I didn't do it. I didn't get it. Amen. Knowing all the time, his wife knew it. His children knew it. His servants knew it. Oh, y'all say amen. Because he dug in the middle of his tent. Oh, come on. Don't you tell me you don't know what's going on in your house. Amen. Only if you're blind and can't see and deaf and can't hear. Oh, somebody help me preach. Amen. And so, you know, whenever the light finally fell, and it was Achan's fault. You got to understand. They said, come on, boy. Amen. You done made us suffer enough. We've even lost a bunch of soldiers today for you because of you. And they took him out. They took his wife. They took his children. They took his servants. They took everything that Achan owned. Amen. And cast it out. I stoned them, then burned it. Oh, y'all say amen. Just see, your sin don't just affect you. It affects the whole body. Come on, somebody. Amen. Whenever you do wrong in the church and you commit sin in the house of God, and when you go against the man or the woman of God and the anointing of God, it affects the whole body. You might as well say amen. And the whole body will suffer because you've lost your identity in who you were in God. If you don't believe that, go to the house and just take your little toe and drop the hammer on it. You'll dance around. You'll hoop and you'll holler because your whole body's going to become suffering the pain. Oh, y'all say amen. This is last night. Calm down. I'm leaving, okay? Amen. But Eli, let's get back to him. He had two boys. We'll just name them John and Joe. I know that wasn't their names, but we're going to put it down to Arkansas where we can understand who we're talking about. Amen. They grew up. Now listen to me. And don't get mad at me. I've raised too many kids. Come on. I raised three of my own. Half my grandkids or more. Two-thirds of them, as a matter of fact. Plus some nieces and nephews. And kids are kids. I don't care if they're Williams, if they're Hortons, if they're Smiths, if they're Holtz. It don't matter what their name is. They're kids. Amen? They're going to fight. They going to scramble. Come on. They going to pinch. They going to holler loud when they're most guilty. Oh, y'all, don't look at me like that. Amen. They will. Because after all, they started it. We got a little boy in our church right now. I love him. He's a sweetheart. Amen. The one that plays the guitar we showed you. He just turned 6 years old. He's a cowboy. He's a genuine cowboy. Because they do rodeos. He wears boots. He wears the cowboy spurs. Come on. And the blue jeans and the shirt. He is a cowboy and the hat. But don't make him mad because he will imprint his spurs. And he will imprint the toe of his hard boots right in your your shin. Come on, ask Emmabeth. Amen. And all you've got to do is tell him no. I said, honey, if he was mine, amen, he would be wearing them spurs on the seat of his breeches. Come on, yeah, he would. You got to understand. See, this is what Eli did. That's my baby now. Them are my boys. Come on, I'm the priest. They're good boys. Come on, they're out just, causing all kinds of havoc, doing everything. They grew up, amen, undisciplined. Oh, say amen. Undisciplined. Amen. Eli just turned his head. He didn't want to deal with it. All he did was sit and get fatter. Amen. Sit on the throne. Amen. See how many hot dogs and hamburgers and milkshakes he could drink. He wasn't worried about what John and Joe was doing. Come on. After all, he was taking care of number one. Eli, I got a position, and that's all I'm worried about. Come on, say amen. I know you probably ain't never heard it like this. Me either. My first time. Amen. But you understand this. Amen. While he was sitting there paying no attention, the boys was growing up. And they began to grow up. They had no respect for the house of God. They had no respect for the man of God. Oh, y'all say amen. They had no respect. Amen. Because daddy did not instill it in them. Come on, folk. A picture of where our church world is today. And they begin to do things. Amen. That God was not pleased with. You've got to understand. Amen. God is not pleased whenever we begin to lose the identity. Amen. Because see, if we stay in Him, amen, we're going to do what He wants us to do. Because we're drawing from Him. And we're drawing, come on, strength from Him. We're drawing the peace and the contentment. We're drawing the correction from Him. Oh, y'all say amen. We're drawing what we need. But when we lose our identity and we get out away from the vine, amen, and we think we can make it by ourselves and we no longer want no more preaching. I've done heard it all. You may have had, but you ain't living it all, so you need to hear it again. I'll say amen. I've done prayed it all. You may have, but somehow or the other your life ain't showing it, so you probably need to go back and pray again. Oh, somebody say amen. What you got to understand is, amen, if we don't lose our identity and we stay in the vine, we're going to love one another. We're not going to be fault-finding. We're not going to be mouthing. Come on. We're not going to be listening to the tales and the innuendos of this one and that one. You know he's right, but if you listen to that one's wrong long enough, you'll believe that one that's wrong and turn on that one that's right. The best thing you can do is say, talk to the hand, because the mind ain't listening. I've got too much to do. Amen. Be like, I think it was D.L. Moody's mom or somebody, one of the old liners. Amen. A salesman knocked on her door. Amen. She looked at him. He said, ma'am, I came to sell. She said, no, sir. You didn't come to sell me anything. I got five boys. I ain't got time for you. I'm too busy building the kingdom of God and raising warriors for Jesus. Amen. So she just shut the door in his face. I said, if we could stay in the vine and realize what our identity is for and who we really are in God, come on somebody, we'd be raising men and women to be prophets and priests. Amen. We'd be raising boys and girls, amen, to become warriors, amen, in the kingdom of God. That's why your children are out on drugs. That's why your children are living a homosexual sexual lifestyle. That's why your children are shacking up and not marrying. Come on. That's why your children, amen, are living and drinking and going out carousing. That's why the rebellion's in the church. Because we didn't correct them and instill the God, the principles in them they needed. Oh, Sister Williams, I know we don't like that kind of preaching. That's old-fashioned. But it's the truth. Come on, there came a day, Eli, sitting on his little pious throne. He'd sat there so long he lost his own eye. He was in the house, but he wasn't of the house. That's another message. He was in the house, but he wasn't of the house. He had a position, and he sit on that throne. Come on. In the house, but he had no vision for the house. Come on, somebody. And he had lost his identity of why he was put there. And so when his boys committed the sins that they committed, come on. And we won't go into all that, but we'll just say this. When they came running and saying, hey, John and Joe just got killed. I know that wasn't their name. Hophaeus and whatever, but that's okay. We're naming them John and Joe tonight. Amen? So, that didn't even faze him. Because he had lost his identity. But the fact of the matter is, when they come in and told him some more good news that he didn't want to hear, or bad news he didn't want to hear, his daughter-in-law went into labor, come on, and birthed a child, and she named him Ichabod, because the glory of the Lord had left the house. When he realized that the glory was gone, when he realized that the presence of God was gone, come on, he fell backwards, broke his neck, and he died. What's it going to take for you and I to get back our identity? Will it take something tragic to make us wake up and realize, amen, we better get in God and stay in God? Come on. Somebody said, I've prayed, but I just can't get an answer. Are you in him? Come on, somebody. I've prayed and God just don't hear me, but are you in him? Come on, help me out now. I find that the words that I speak have power, and the words that I proclaim have power. Come on. You might as well say amen. I've learned this one thing in praying for people in my few years of ministry, and especially in the last few years as the Lord began to direct to me. If you can get a person's attention on God, amen, and get them off of their suffering and their pain, you can get them delivered, and you can get them healed, and you can get them set free. Come on, say amen. Because you got to understand, the Word will do what it says it will do. Come on, yeah, it will perform what you speak it to perform, if you speak it in divine faith. He said, because I'm here to tell you now, if you stay in me, come on, if you be in me, you abide in me, and I abide in you. You can ask what you will and it shall be done. Mama and Daddy, listen to me. Amen. Grandma and Grandpa, listen to me. You don't have to sit down and say, hey, I don't know what I'm going to do, or start wringing your hands because rebellion is in the house. What you do is you speak to rebellion and you say this, oh, rebellious spirit that has entered into my house by the authority of God's word, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I bind you. Hey, come on, somebody, I take the authority away from you, and this night I cancel your assignment upon my home, upon my marriage, upon my children, upon my job, amen, upon every situation. As I got news for you, amen, greater is he that's within me and he that's within the world. And so by the authority of God's divine word, I'm in him, he's in me, so I know I have that right. I know who I am, and I know in whom I serve. Come on, somebody. I'm not looking at something I know God can't do, but I'm telling you tonight, I've done it. I've seen it happen. I've watched it come to pass. Oh, somebody, you got to stand up and get back your identity and say, I'm claiming it back. I've let the devil run over me long enough. I'm going to stand up. I don't care if anybody else is going to do it or not. This is my territory. This is my house. This is my place. These are my children. This is my home. This is my job. This is my health. This is my life. And I refuse to let the devil have any part of it. So in the name of Jesus, I cancel the assignment of hell upon my family. If you don't think it'll work, try it. I'm here to tell you it'll work. Or you can be an Eli. You can be in the house and be not of it. Come on, you can be in the vine and be not of it. There'll come a casting away day. There'll come a pruning day. Come on, it will. There'll come a pruning day. And he comes by and sees that you're shriveling up. And you're losing your identity. And you're sucking life out of the vine. He'll cut you off. Come on, somebody. Say amen. You see, we don't preach it. We preach that God is such a good God that we can just live like the devil himself. We can go to church when we decide to. Amen. We can stay home if we want to. Come on, we can praise if we want to. Only if I feel like it. If you go on your feelings, you'll die and go to hell. Come on, say amen. That's straight. I know it is. But you got to get some push about you. You got to get something about you to say, hey, I'm not feeling good in body. I'm not feeling good maybe in spirit. But I know this one thing. Amen. Come on. I'm going to the house of God. And excuse how I put this. Amen. There's a fertilizer around there called the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I think I'm going to get right around where it's being poured out. Amen. And when I get around where it's being poured out, amen, I realize, amen, that the branch, amen, that I am in that vine, come on, somebody, is going to reconnect, and I'm going to draw some sap, come on, out of there. I'm going to draw some strength out of there. I'm going to get some power out of there. I'm going to get some authority out of there, amen, and I'm going to liven up. I'm going to blossom, and I'm going to bloom. I'm not waiting till spring. It may be in the mid of the heat of the summer. It could be in the ice cold of the winter. Amen. But I'm here to tell you now, watch out, because there's something about to take place in me. Hell don't have the right to overrun me. Hell don't have the right to come and invade my house. Hell don't have the right to steal my children. Hell don't have the right to do anything to a blood-bought child of the King. If you'll stay in the vine. But if you get out of the vine, come on. You'll be like Eli. You'll be in the house. But that's all you are. You're just in the house. And you eventually be cut off. Because you see, amen, we got to produce some fruit. Come on. And I ain't talking about apples and oranges, bananas and grapes and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about some love, some joy, some peace. Come on. Some long-suffering, some gentleness, some goodness, some kindness, and some faith. Oh, y'all say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Whenever they come and begin to say all manner of things against you, but you know in whom you serve and in whom you believe, you're in the vine. Come on. Jesus said, they hated me. They're going to hate you. Honey, get you a backbone. Stand up. You're anointed. Is not worth sacrifice. Come on, say amen. I said your anointing is not worth sacrifice. Amen. Sometimes we don't even realize we're in the house, but that's all we are. We're not of it. We're just sitting there. We're just warm bodies. Come on a pew. We're just a number. But God don't want just you to be a number. He wants you to be a praiser. He wants you to be a worshiper. Come on, somebody. If the angels can do it, amen, and they've been doing it from the eons of ages, amen, and they ain't wore out yet, and they just keep singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and worthy art thou to be praised. And they don't even know what salvation is all about. They don't even know, come on, because they didn't have to be forgiven. They were created to worship Him. I've been plucked out of hell, come on. I've been blood bought. I've been blood sought. Amen. I've been blood covered. Amen. So I want you to know I got a right, and I take my right, come on. Amen. I said I take my right, because it is my right, it is my privilege, it is my honor, come on, and most of all, it is a commandment of God that I worship Him, and worship Him in spirit and in truth, come on, you got to recognize, mama, if you don't teach them how to worship, nobody else will, come on, say amen, I said, if you don't train them how to praise, nobody else will, and we need to realize in this day and this, what am I going to do, if they're still under your roof, you've got authority. If they're still under you, and if they move out of your roof, you still got authority. Amen. If they're not married and got their own home yet, you still got authority. But I'm here to tell you I can invade their house and I can still take authority. Because their blood I still runs through their veins. Amen. They're a part of me. I'm a part of Him. And that makes them a part of Him. I've got the authority to cancel the assignment of hell itself. Amen. You got to know who you are and what you are in Him. Eli had the promise of God, but God did not have Eli or his house. Hear what I just said. Eli had the promise of God. He had the position. And he was in the house and he had the promise. But God neither had Eli nor did he have his house. Come on. So Eli allowed the promise to be cut off. He lost his heritage. Come on, folk. I preached around this several states in this United States. I've traveled thousands upon thousands of miles. And I haven't touched the surface or touched the bucket to where I should be. And I have preached to hundreds and I have preached to two. And I preach just as hard to two as I do to hundreds. Come on. Come on, folk. What's in the house? Come on. I can't help it that the others didn't come. So you just got to pick up the load. Amen? But I've had three children of my own. Sherry, Stephanie, and Sean. And they're my heritage. And I've got eight grandchildren that are now my extended heritage. And if I lose one of them, I have failed somewhere. No. Don't misunderstand me. Because I have the authority. Sister Linda, you can't make them live for God. But you can keep them out of hell. Well, they got quiet on me, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you how the Lord proved that to me. Amen. Hallelujah. I had three brothers that were absolute hellions. One of them did not believe in God at all. And his baby sister got called to preach. The older one was an alcoholic. And he didn't give a flying rip about anything or anybody. My middle brother, he didn't understand. He didn't really care. But they all lived. They drank. They cursed. They corralled. They had children out of wedlock. You name it, they done it. Mom. I got saved at 12. I didn't do what they wanted me to do. My sister-in-laws, they tried to do this. They tried to make me wear this. They tried to dress me up like this. They tried to paint me up like that. Come on, no. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Okay? And I said, not me. There was something inside of me that I could not. Come on. Something inside of me I did not want to. Okay? They didn't have much to do with me. Well, when I started preaching, they thought I'd lost my mind. They went to my mama. Mama, what's wrong with her? They mocked the Holy Ghost. Well, said it was of the devil. Come on. That old country church I was preaching in, I didn't know they'd done this. Until years later. I was preaching in a little old country church way out in the middle of nowhere. Amen. You had the windows where you could raise the windows. You know how we used to have church. And you could raise the windows and everybody could hear you for a mile down the road. Amen. Especially if you had a PA system. And so they could look in. And I had one brother that went and drove one night and he hid behind a tree. So he could watch and just see what I was doing. Amen. Their baby sister had lost her mind. Come on, that's what they thought. But see, I was in the house. And I was in the vine. And I really didn't care. And then on top of that, my husband's sister, she made fun of me. She mocked me. She said, she can't stay saved. That's why she has to go to church so much. Glory, glory. I said, yeah, my kids are going with me, by the way. Amen. My husband stay home. They'd come down. He'd stay home with them. I didn't stay home with them. I was going to heaven, folk. I didn't care. I'd leave you at the house if you didn't like. Come on, if you ain't going with me, you ain't hindering me. Come on. I said, get in the car, kids. Let's go. I'll leave them here with us. I said, not so. They're going to the house of God. Come on, it's church night. Come on, folk. Revival. Come on. 6, 7, come on. I don't care. We went 2 or 3 weeks. They went every night. Amen. There's up to 10, 11, 12 o'clock. Come on, went to school the next day. And they lived at live to testify about it. Amen. Come on. Oh, sister, but we can't do stuff like that no more. That's because we've lost our identity. Come on. See, when you get in Him, you can't get enough of Him. All y'all say amen. But let me back to my little tale. My middle brother had a stroke, amen, at 40 years old. Amen. And they said he probably was not going to live. And so I got a phone call. And so Mom lived with me. And so when I got this phone call, Brother Horton, they began to tell me how bad he was. And they wasn't expecting to even make it. He was lost without God. The rest of them was lost without God. And so I got in my car and started driving to Jonesboro. And I was bombarding heaven and praying because I didn't want him to go to hell. Amen. He was a good man. He just didn't live for God, okay? He had lived a hedonistic life is what I called it anyway. You call it what you want to. It's the lifestyle of the world today. But anyway, it wasn't my lifestyle. So I was talking to God and I said, look, God, amen. I said, now, God, I don't want to see him go to hell. I said, God, you promised me my house. And as I was driving down the road and I was weeping and I was bawling, I was bombarding heaven. Amen. I barely could. I don't know how I got to the hospital, but I got there, amen, all in one piece, as a matter of fact. But while I was on the way, the Lord began to talk to me, and the Lord began to show me some things. While I was in my car, yeah, if the people coming at me would have known where I was at, they'd have probably got off the road. But the fact of the matter is, God said, if you'll stay faithful to me, he said, if you'll line up to me and you'll stay faithful to me and trust me, he said, I'll not only give you your house, but I'll give you your brothers. Come on, yeah, amen. Guess what? Every one of them has died but one, but they all got saved. My alcoholic brother went home last year. Amen. Well, come on. He's the one that had the car wreck. And they told us he'd never live and he'd be a paraplegic if he did. But he'd never know us. But he lived 40 some odd years after the wreck. Amen. God righteously, gloriously saved him. Took him home last year. My other brother that had the stroke went home to be with the Lord. Amen. And he was singing. And as he was leaving this walk of life, amen, on his dying bed, he was singing the glorious gospel of Jesus, and he was saying, I see angels. Oh, isn't that beautiful what I hear? Can y'all not hear what I'm hearing? I'm going home. He'd say, I'm coming, Mama. I'll be right there in just a little bit. And he was talking to Mama. He was talking to God. He was talking about the angels. So I'm here to tell you tonight, if you don't lose your identity, it doesn't matter how bleak it may look. It doesn't matter how bad it may seem. It doesn't matter how rebellious the devil can make it. You've got to learn this. Don't lose your identity. As the Bible said, whatsoever you speak, come on. What if you stay in me, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. Come on, somebody. Amen. I said he raised my mama from the dead. He raised my brother from the dead. He raised that daughter from the dead. And he raised my grandbaby Adriana from the dead. I didn't see him too much. Amen. I stood between hell, amen, and life, and I've watched him do too much. Come on, somebody. I'm here to tell you now, you got to wake up and recognize and realize who you are in God, and say, by the grace of the Almighty, amen, and through the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of the living God, there's nothing hell can do that God cannot conquer. But don't lose your identity. See, what we do, we go on emotions. And emotions will destroy you. It will. Amen? It will. We're emotional people. Amen? If we don't keep our emotions intact with God, emotions will destroy you. Emotions will cause depression. Emotions cause anxiety. Is it sin? No. But emotions will cause oppression. Emotions, oh, y'all say amen. Don't shut me down real just yet, okay? And your emotions begin to, amen, because it's a flesh thing, not a spirit thing. Your spirit man never gets emotional except when it's worshiping God. Oh, glory to God. But your flesh will get you in trouble. Because fear, come on, doubt and unbelief is what causes your emotions to flare up. And it'll pull you out of the vine. Because you begin, when your emotions get stirred, come on, you know the word, you can't apply the word. I better get back up here. You know the word, but you can't apply the word. Yeah, I'm going to tell off on myself. Preachers don't have one single secret. Just blows my mind. I knew that I was almost out of gas last night. I filled my van up before we left Truman. And I had driven it all the way up here, and I'd driven it all around. Even Sherbeth's been driving my van. And she said to me, Chris, last night, Mom, I think we better get some gas. I said, okay, we'll do that in the morning. Glory. Well, she decided to go to Marshall's because somebody told her about a picture there that my granddaughter would really like for her bedroom. I'll call no names. So we had to go to Marshall's, and we went to Rogers to Marshall's. So we got ready. Brother was having an MRI today, so we set them free today. And we go to Rogers to Marshall's because it was closer, thank God, than Fayetteville, okay? Got in the car. I have a lead foot, okay? We're yakking. She's talking to me, just going on back, and I look down and it said 9 miles. I said, oh, we didn't get no gas. We're on 9 miles. Where's the closest station? My emotions got a little stirred right then. She said, just calm down, Mom. I said, I'm calm. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, overlook my ignorance and get me to a gas station. I began to call on God. I really did. Now, I'm going to tell you, I didn't do it just once. I said, Father, I promise you, I'll never try to do this again. I said, never try to do this again, okay? Amen. I said, but God, you see, and you know where the next service station is. I'm not real familiar right here. And it says 8 miles. Now it's in 7 miles. And God, now I'm on 6 miles. And God, I said, Sherry, you're never ready to push because I ain't getting out. Amen. It's up the hill, honey. You better get me up. I'll coast down, but be ready for me to go back up. Amen. And so I said, God, in the name of Jesus, I know there's got to be a service station real close by somewhere. Just multiply this gas until we can get. 4 miles. And there was a Phillips 66. And I pulled in and got my gas. Come on. I said all that to say this. That's when we call on God. We're desperate. We're desperate. Now, couldn't you just see me out there pushing that 2018 van? Not me. I'm going to hide under the steering wheel and make her push. That's what I brought her along for. Amen. She'd be in it making me push. But anyway, but that's how we wait till we really need God sometime. We get desperate. Well, we don't need to wait till we get desperate. Come on, folk. We get desperate in situations in our own home before we ever call on God because we're busy. And we're so busy. Come on. I knew I needed gas. We know we need to get in and worship. I know when I go to the house of God, I need to get all I can get and get filled up with all the power and His presence and the Spirit of God that I can before I walk out those doors. Come on. And sometimes I'm emptier than I am at others when I come in. And sometimes I'm quite full when I come in. So it don't take as much to fill me up. So if I'm not careful, I can sit there and say, bless God. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. I'm doing so good. Just bless them, Lord. And I don't get anything for myself. Because you know why? I'm slowly losing the identity that you're slowly drifting out of the vine. Come on, somebody. So every time the station is, my husband would give me a real good talking if he knew that. So don't go tell him. Woman, don't you know that'll tear up that fuel tank? It's going to cost a whole lot more than it will to fill that tank up. If you'll fill it up when it gets on half, it won't get like it. I said, yes, sir. I know that. I understand that. That's kind of the way the Lord's telling us. You may be half full. You may be three quarters. But why not just go ahead and get all the way full? Amen? So when you go out there and the devil hits you, you got enough to slap him down. Come on. Amen? You're not spitting and sputtering and hollering, oh God, where's the gas station? Come on. You're not spitting and sputtering and wondering, God, am I going to make it? Will I even make it through this trial? Will I even make it through this test? Are you there anywhere around? Come on. So that's why we don't have secrets. We have to use them as illustrations. Amen. Don't lose your identity. Find it. Amen. Find it in God. Say, God, I am so sorry. Amen. That I became more of in the house and not of the house. I want more of your anointing. Stand with me tonight. Some of us were so much like Felix in the book of Acts. Amen. You've almost persuaded me. At a more convenient time. I got plenty of time, but you've almost made me realize I really need to get right. I really need to get saved. I really need to accept Him. I really need to get full of God. Don't be like Felix. Don't be like Eli. I have the authority to rise up and cancel every assignment that hell has come against my church, my home, my family. Come on. Hear me. You have the authority, if you're in the vine, to cancel every assignment of hell. Amen. A few years ago, and I don't know if I may have told this here, but I'm going to tell it again if I have. Stephanie's and Anthony's middle child, Spencer, he's graduating out in college now, still at home. But he was bullied from the time he was in sixth grade till he graduated because he wouldn't fight. He wouldn't rebuttal. He inverted in himself. And he began to pull away, and he still has inverted some, but not near what he was. But he's 19 now, about 3 years ago, Stephanie said, Mom, can you preach tonight? It's on a Wednesday night, if I remember correct. And I said, sure. I go to church and I preach. And as I was preaching at the end of the service, God began to reveal something to me. Now I'm his grandma. They all call me Nino. I didn't see it. I just knew there was a problem. But until the Lord began to show me what it was, he was standing kind of to this side of the house. And I began to call out what the Lord was showing. Spencer started coming toward me. And we was in the other church at that time, and there was like one step, and then you stepped up on the platform. I was standing on that one step. And I just motioned for him to come on. And he came in, he stood and stopped in front of me. And when he did, my spirit man inside of me broke. And I began to see what he was going through. And God began to show me. And I looked at him and I said, baby, I'm not your Nina right now. I am the woman of God that's ministering to you. And if I'm wrong, can tell me that I'm wrong. And as I looked at him, Brother Horton, and I began to, as the Lord began to reveal and unfold, I began to just tell him what I said, you have been so afraid that you really would rather be dead than alive. When I did, his mom and dad both broke because they didn't even realize it in their own house. I said, as a matter of fact, and I began to tell him what all the Lord was showing me. And he broke and began to cry, and he said, every bit of it, Nino. God miraculously touched him that night. The next day, he came to my house. He sat down on the couch beside of me. And he said, Nino, can I ask you a question? I said, sure, baby. He said, how'd you know all that? You were on spot. As teenagers talk. I said, I didn't. I said, until the Lord began to tell me. How did he do that, Nino? And I said, baby, I can't explain. All I can tell you is this. In my mind's eye, in my spiritual eye, I could see. In my spiritual ear, I could hear. And all I knew was to tell you what I seen and what I heard. And he said, but Nino, you was on spot. I said, but that was the Holy Ghost, not your Nino. I said, that's how God works. He's that concerned about you, baby, that he let me see and he let me hear so you could know how much he loves you and he wanted you. Because he was to the point that he'd rather be dead than alive. He was ready to just end it all. And he was in Mom and Daddy's house. I say that to say this. Don't lose your identity in him. Mama, Daddy, don't let your emotions override what God's trying to tell you and show you. And we as the Church of the Living God, we need to take back our identity in him. And when we do that, we'll see a revival take place. Because you'll see your sons and daughters, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, you'll see them coming back to the house of God. Because there'll begin to be a hunger. So you can cancel the assignment. If I don't get anything else across to you tonight, you can cancel the assignment of hell over your house, your children, come on, yourself, come on. See, we're so used, and I know I'm going a little lengthy, but we're so used to the way we've done church for so long. Don't misunderstand what I know the Bible teaches and tells us to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, okay? I realize all that. But we have come so used to the norm of the way that we think it ought to be done that we don't take the authority ourselves. We depend on the pastor, the evangelist, somebody that we have. Come on, we do. Somebody that just does that, okay? But I want you to understand. You, everybody say it. I have the authority in God to cancel every assignment from hell against me, my family, come on, my children, my home, my health. If you can get that in your spirit and realize the same God that walks in Brother Mac walks in you. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I feel such a tugging in my spirit. The same God. That in whatever your favorite preacher, person that you look up to is, and don't misunderstand me, it's okay to do that. But recognize this, that same God is in you. And you have that authority to cancel the assignment. Come on, there's life and death in the power of the tongue. So if you go to hollering, I don't know what I'm going to do, wringing your hands saying, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what's going to happen. When you start that, all you're doing is giving the devil enough ammunition to wreak havoc and to destroy everything he can touch. But when you raise up and say, but God, he's in control. And I cancel the assignment of hell. If you had to do it every morning, do it every morning. Come on. Do it all day long. Man, but don't lose your identity. Because if you lose your identity and who you are in Him, come on, the devil will wreak havoc on you. Taking it back. Come on. That I'm taking it back. Hallelujah. You got to understand, I'm taking it back. I mean, he's going to join me tonight. I'm taking it back. I'm taking back. Amen. I'm going to get reassured in my identity tonight. Maybe you're here and you're going through some stuff. You say, Sister Linda, I want to come up tonight and I just want God to help me. To help me to realize and help me to understand and to remember who I am in Him. Real quick, is there anybody in the house? Amen. Well, Terry, but a second. It doesn't mean you're backslid. It doesn't mean that doesn't mean that you walked away from God. It just simply, God's saying this, I want to show you who you really are. I want to show you the power and the authority that can be in you, that you have the authority to use. Come on, real quick. Anybody in the house? Because I'm not going to tarry. I'll turn it to Brother Mike real quick. Amen. If nobody in the house needs anything at all. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord.